But first, how's this for a storyline? Boymeets.com, boyfallsfor.com, boyflees.com in horror. That's how Mike Daisy describes his time working in customer service at Amazon.com during its early years. Daisy got out, waited 2 years for his non-disclosure agreement to expire, and went on to write and star in the off-Broadway one-man show 21 Dog Years, Doing Time at Amazon.com. Daisy told Ann Strainchamps he was looking for flexible hours and a creative work environment when he stumbled on to Amazon.
Lo and behold, there was an ad in the paper that said, work at Amazon.com, flexible hours, a fun and quirky work environment. And I thought, well, that sounds great. I'd never really heard about Amazon. I was quite a geek, but I didn't have any money, so I was never ordering anything online. And I'd sort of heard of them distantly, but I really didn't know anything about them.
You say in your play that Amazon at the time was looking for freaks to hire. Did they really say that?
Oh, yes.
When Amazon went to the temping companies, it gave them a simple directive. It told them, send us your freaks! And I know that this is true, because that's what I was told by my recruiter. Mr. Daisy, you have a bachelor's degree in aesthetics and a minor in medieval history. Amazon.com is looking for people just like you.
They wanted strange and unusual people, preferably ones who were sort of overeducated. That was a big criteria for them. They wanted people who had graduate degrees in botany, who were, you know, very educated and lost. They wanted people who had not found their life direction, because what they wanted were people who would do the mind-numbing task of customer service all day, but they wanted people who would do it with flair and style and who would be susceptible to the attractiveness of working really, really hard and fed mostly on the belief that they would change the world.
So it's your first day at Amazon and you walk in. What did you think? What were your first impressions?
Well, the first thing that I thought upon walking in was how incredibly effective everyone was. There was really this unbelievable aura of effectiveness and optimism sort of pouring out of everyone. And I'm a pretty manic, depressive person by nature. And I wouldn't say I was dour, but I'm certainly given to bouts of extreme existential doubt about my place in the universe. Amazon was the opposite of that. Amazon was a crusade. And it was clear right from the first moments as you walked in and you sat down in your training class, you were really talked to as though you had signed up for the army. And they would talk to us about how this was a war that we had to win and we would change the nature of commerce forever. And they would show examples from the media and slides and ample evidence that we were already winning this war, but we couldn't do it without your help. And that's why we're here today. We're going to be part of this great experiment. And many say we can fail, but we can do it. We can change this. And this was very electrifying. I'd never actually been part of any group really ever. I was really kind of an iconoclast. And it was really powerful for me to feel the energy of belonging. And not only belonging to an organization like, say, you know, the Boy Scouts or my local arts club or something, this was belonging to a multinational force that everyone was writing about.
What was your first job? What did they actually give you to do?
Oh, well, I was in customer service. So I answered between 400 and 600 phone calls and emails every day over usually an 8-hour period, but then we pretty much always worked overtime, so really it was more like a 10, 11, or 12-hour period.
400 to 600 a day sounds mind-boggling. I mean, how fast were you answering the phone?
Well, you answer the phone as quickly as possible because there's always a line of people waiting, and there are reader boards everywhere in the space. You're in this large, dark room with no windows, and the lights are turned off, and everything is lit only by the light from our monitors. Everyone's sitting there in the darkness, sort of murmuring because you can hear everyone on their own calls or typing, and those sounds are washing over everything. And yeah, you go as quickly as you can because those reader boards are above you and they show just how long people are waiting. And if it goes over a certain number, that would be shifted depending on how call volumes were. If it went over this danger number, an alarm would start ringing really loudly, a piercing, piercing alarm.
Suddenly. Drops. You're safe so long as you keep working fast enough. Thank you for calling Amazon.com. Thank you for calling Amazon.com. Drink some water. You've earned this.
I mean, that's what really keeps you answering the phones quickly, is that if you don't, the alarm goes off, and then not only have you made it go off, but your coworkers around you, if they think you're the one that's, you know, slacking, they'll look toward you.
Did you like this work?
I did like the work. I didn't like the routine. If I could have skipped the intermediate stages of customer service and somehow made it to the higher echelons where some of my friends actually ended up making it to, where you only deal with catastrophic cases and bizarre situations, yeah, I think I would have been good at that.
What are the catastrophic situations and the bizarre occurrences?
Well, I mean, at times you would just have people who called who were abusive. There was a guy who would call all the time and would whisper into the phone and would ask people, have you ever seen the Wizard of Oz? And the poor person on the phone would say, you know, no, well, we have it on VHS and DVD. And then the person would say, I want you to cackle like the Wicked Witch in the Wizard of Oz. I mean, this guy would call back over and over, and different people would get him, and he'd be trying to get them to cackle for him. And you just had this weird image of him naked in his apartment calling, and it's very disturbing. And it goes from that end of the spectrum where the customer is obviously at fault over to, you know, situations where people are calling saying, like, I'm a Baptist minister and you have sent me, you know, Girls Gone Wild 3, catfight sex for everybody instead of my Bible study unit. And I gave it out to the children. You know, this happened regularly because, you know, when a mix-up happens in packaging, it's not like someone's sitting there looking at each one and saying, you know, this goes to this person. It's automated. So when an error happens, the book you get is completely random.
You wound up climbing the corporate ladder at Amazon, right?
Yes, I did. If you ever want to be disillusioned about any company, I think, going into business development doesn't hurt as a way to lose your youthful naivete. Business development is a really strange place, especially at Amazon. In those days, the stock was the central story to Amazon. It still is today. The stock's still very high compared to what it would be valued as a traditional retailer. The stock was vital because the stock had to keep going up. That's what everything rode on. That's what the company rode on. And so in business development, you discover that there was enormous pressure to make things work. There was enormous pressure to make sure all the graphs you used would go up and to the right. Use that as an expression. Up and to the right. Like a hockey stick, boys. Like a hockey stick. And, you know, no one ever said falsify data. They're just saying, make sure it goes up and to the right. And you're supposed to draw your own kind of conclusions from that. And so, you know, you'd change the axis and, you know, you'd measure along the, you know, you'd do everything you could to make sure that your data came out looking that way. That is not conducive to running a business well, nor is it conducive to keeping your belief system intact, because it's very daunting to go in every day and realize over time that you're just a spin person. You're not actually working. You're just massaging data till it comes out the way everyone wants to see it. I really think that the lessons of the dot-com era that people often ask me, you know, like, what did we learn? I don't think we learned anything. I don't think that anything was truly learned in any kind of substantial way, because the issues at stake here are just human nature and the fact that we have created corporations that we endow with human qualities but have no responsibility, and we work within those corporations. It's a very difficult thing to navigate those.
Mike Daisy, speaking with Anstrengchamps about his off-Broadway show 21 Dog Years, Doing Time at Amazon.com.